Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Heather.
That's not Chris at all.
Not even a little bit. I don't have a beard.
No, Chris has taken the week off, and so we thought, what better time to bring in someone else, because we have to.
Yeah.
So, Heather is. Heather, do you want to tell them who you are?
I'm your girlfriend.
Yeah! Remember we talked about her earlier on the podcast.
Are you still surprised that you have one?
No, I love you.
Okay.
So we have mentioned, I don't think we ever mentioned your name on the podcast before.
Mm-mm. You just referred to me as Joel's girlfriend.
Yes. So Heather is her name. And so we decided to have her on the podcast because me and Chris have both watched wrestling for, you know, multiple years, and Heather has watched it for exactly 1 year, very sparingly and begrudgingly.
Not begrudgingly, but yes, sparingly.
So, we thought it might be interesting to see that perspective on a lot of the stuff that we take for granted and don't question anymore.
Oh, I have questions.
And so, we'll try and, for the most part, be a normal show of going through Raw, but how we're going to go through Raw this time is Heather watched Raw.
Alone. I would like to make a point that I watched it alone, and the people who know me will be utterly shocked. Yes, Chris, I watched it alone.
Not all of it.
Most of it.
But quite a bit of it. So we're going to try and go through, and so she has a lot of questions.
Not that many.
She has more than three questions. So you can't shrug. That's not a podcast.
Oh, sorry. I'm a very visual person, I apologize.
So, we'll try and, the audience won't do anything. I will try and answer your questions.
Okay.
So, we can see. So, alright, so, Raw opens up. What is your first question?
I don't have a question, I have a statement.
Okay.
Randy Orton said lickety-split.
When did Randy Orton say lickety-split?
He said lickety-split to Kane. He said, if one more thing happened, I would have been out there lickety-split.
Did that mess you up?
That was the first thing I typed. Who says lickety-split? What is he, like a 1950s, I don't know, so, caricature?
I don't know. I mean, there's this thing where it varies from wrestler to wrestler, how much of their promos are written for them and how much of them are just saying things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that we very much know, like, oh, he just comes out with a microphone. And they're like, hit these 3 points, you have 10 minutes.
Go.
Okay.
And
there's some, especially like, and those are like the higher ups, like John Cena and CM Punk was very much like that. And a lot of the lower people are like, here, type out, you say this word for word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Randy Orton, so I don't know whose idea lickety-split was, if somebody wrote that for him or if he just said it.
It was very odd. A very odd choice of words, shall we say. Fair it completely enough. Threw me for, like, the first 10 minutes of that.
Fair enough.
He said lickety-split.
I'm sorry, it's not top-shelf writing. Nor acting. They're not hired for their acting prowess.
Some of them are really good actors.
Some of them are really good
He's
actors.
He's not.
No, Randy Orton is not the best actor.
Mm. Anyway, continuing.
Okay.
My turn?
Yes. You have more questions? Is that it?
For that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, continue on. I mean, I followed the... As we went.
I don't remember what happened on wrestling in order.
Oh, don't you have that, like, brought up on a page or something?
No, we just talk about the highlights.
Okay, well, pick a highlight.
Highlight, Bret Hart came back. You want to talk about Bret Hart? Bret Hart, that was the big highlight of the night, was because they were in Montreal, Bret Hart came back. What do you have about Bret Hart?
I wrote, teehee, he punched him to shut him up. Poor Sandow. I thought it was funny.
Good. Good, that was there for comedic effect.
Yes.
Are you upset about Sandow? Do you know to be upset about Sandow?
Should I be upset about Sandow?
A lot of
Sandow dresses like Abraham Lincoln and Paul Revere.
A lot of people really liked the Sandow. Sandow was the one that was very classy and dignified. And
the biggest thing I know about Sandow is he has like a Babylonian style beard.
Yes.
That's how I recognize
him. So he came out as this cultured gentleman who he was this bad guy. He talked down to the audience and...
Well, he knows his history really well.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least he knows what to wear.
Well, he would like... he did, you know, he was very cool. He would, like, when they had, you know, just signings, he always had, like, a feathered quill to do his signatures with. He called people ignoramuses. Like, he used...
Oh, I remember big that. Words,
that kind of stuff. Yeah. And now he just comes out in costume every week.
Oh.
And so, he came out, and he totally mentioned the Montreal Screwjob, which was awesome. So...
I don't know what that is.
So, do you remember he was saying that he made that when he was saying, I'm Bret Hart, and I tapped out to my own move to my idol Shawn Michaels?
Yeah.
So, back in 97, Bret Hart was about to leave the company. Bret Hart was about to leave the company because he was going over to WCW. He was getting out of his contract because WWEF at the time could not afford to pay him. And so he was, you know, he asked for a buyout, and WCW was going to buy him out. And they said, okay, but Bret Hart was the champion at the time. And they said, can't have him be the champion and go over there and take that title over to WCW,
okay,
the other wrestling company.
So he had to lose.
He has to lose the championship.
That stinks.
And Bret Hart says, okay, because that's, you know, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he completely understands that. But he did not want to lose the championship in Montreal, because Montreal's Canada. He's a Canadian hero, basically. And there are, like, some befuddled facts, or foggy facts of what happens and what exactly is it. Some people say that he did not want to lose to Shawn Michaels. Some people said he was okay with losing to Shawn Michaels, just not in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically... short story is that Vince said, okay, you won't lose it in Montreal, you'll lose it the next night on Raw, we'll take care of that. And then had the referee ring the bell and, you know, had him lose it, even though he didn't tap out or get pinned.
Oh, okay.
So the ref says, I saw a tap, ring the bell. And this all happened, like, in real life.
Okay.
So, it's a big deal.
Ooh.
I mean, this is a really big deal.
Okay.
This is a big deal.
Yes.
So, it's something that, it's one of the things that got me really back into wrestling, because Bret Hart was clearly never ever going to return to WWE, because they genuinely screwed him out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I started watching again, because I was with Chris, and Bret Hart was on the TV. I was like, no, he's never coming back. So they finished up this. That storyline was started in 97. They finished up in 2010.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That took a long time.
Yes. Well, they had to actually get Bret Hart, but Bret Hart was really mad in real life.
I can see that.
So I'm going to make you watch a documentary one day called Wrestling with Shadows, which is all about that.
Oh, okay.
It's just a genuinely good documentary. Like, not even just like a good wrestling documentary. It's a genuinely good documentary. It focuses on, like, Canadian heroism and stuff.
Okay.
So, we'll watch that. We'll have you back on the podcast one day to review that.
Okay.
What other questions do you have?
So the Russian dude, what's his name?
Rusev?
Rusev. Okay, he fought Rob Van Dam.
Yes.
How old is Rob Van Dam?
Older?
Older than he should still be doing that, right?
I mean, he did good, didn't he? Or were you just too concerned about him?
I felt like he was gonna die.
Rob Van Dam is...
or lose control of his bowels or something. Like, it was a little bit kind of like,
He is older. He's a ECW guy, which is extreme wrestling, which means he has a lot of scars and cuts and stuff, so...
Okay.
His face just looks old. So he probably looks a little older than he actually is, but he's old. I mean, he's in his 40s.
Alright.
So, but yeah, he does a lot of stunts and high flying and stuff.
Also, a more important question. Why is the picture of Putin that they put up there for the Russian, why is it not one of the many pictures of Putin without a shirt on? That would be so much more entertaining.
They've done that before. So, they
I've never seen it.
They have this, like, one picture of Putin that they put up every single week
mm-hmm.
for that. And then, like, this one time, they did, like, three pictures of Putin, which was, like, the same one they have, then Putin fishing, then Putin with a gun without a shirt.
Who said Putin?
His name is Putin.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
It's hard to take him serious.
Yes, I mean, we should.
But I
yes.
know, we really should, but...
But yeah, so...
So they did it one time.
Yeah, they have acknowledged that there is that shirtless Putin.
All right, and yeah. The Russian always sits on someone's back and looks like he really has to go to the bathroom to win his matches, right?
That's called the camel clutch. Do you not like that move? Chris hates that move.
Well, it looks like he's constipated and trying to push really hard.
Yeah.
And it's not working out for him. It's a little bit uncomfortable.
Chris does not care for the camel clutch.
I can understand why he doesn't, also because calling it that makes me think of something else.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm.
Power through.
Yeah. Keep moving on.
Classy ring attire.
We're being classy. Has Dean Ambrose gone crazy?
Dean Ambrose, because you remember him from The Shield, right?
Yes.
Okay.
When there was the three of them, mm-hmm. before Cruella de Vil, what's his name, Seth?
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Cruella de Vil. Before Cruella de Vil became the bad guy.
Yes.
And hit him with a chair or something. Yes. I didn't watch it that day. They just recapped it like 8 times since then.
Yes, they did. Do you notice that?
Yeah, it's like recapped almost every week now.
Yes. We're not happy about the recaps. But we watch it every week, so.
Yeah, so there's Dean Ambrose, mm-hmm. and the guy with the long wet hair.
And Roman Reigns.
And Cruella de Vil.
Yes.
Seth Rollins. Whatever.
Dean, yeah, he kind of basically played crazy in the independent stuff, okay. before he was hired by WWE. So it does seem like they're going back. He does it very well. So if they want to keep going with that, that works. As far as I'm concerned, I enjoy this character. How do you feel about this character?
Well, I mean, he's kind of crazy, and I feel like there should be somebody crazy in this organization. They can't all be sane and think that this is how they should really be acting. I mean, somebody needs to be crazy.
Okay.
Especially since Randy Orton is obviously a complete and utter tool.
Yeah.
His little Adonis or Greek statue pose that he does is like, the whole country of Greece should go up in rebellion. It looks terrible.
We'd like to think that he's offering the crowd a hug.
Sure. I feel like if he tried to hug me, though, he'd want something more.
You'd slide off.
Yeah. Or try to slide away. Mm-hmm. I feel like he would be expecting more out of that hug, and that's like, not really something that I'm willing to give.
So you don't like Randy Orton?
No. He looks like he wants to do terrible things to puppies.
Are you, like, impressed with his ring prowess or anything? Or just, like you're bummed out when Randy Orton's music hits? Because that means Randy Orton's coming out again.
I mean, it means somebody good's going to come out. I mean, like, a good guy with heel, head, him.
Heel and face.
Hey, heel and face.
Face is good guy, heel is bad guy.
So a face doesn't make any sense. So, but if he comes out, so he's a bad guy, so it means a good guy's going to come out, and they're going to have, like, a good guy, bad guy, epic duel, whatever that means. Stop looking at my questions.
Okay.
But that means I'm going to get that kind of fight, at least. Yeah. So it's not going to be like one of these really, really weird ones. Which, anything with the weird cheap mask guy, and his little buddy
Wyatt brothers?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And his little buddy that looks like he's taken too many drugs and doesn't really know where he is, with his little wide-eyed creepy stare, yeah, anything with them I can do without. And the guy who sits on his rocking chair, and everybody turns their cell phones on, and it looks, you know, like stars.
So you don't like the Wyatt family?
They're weird. They remind me a little bit too much of the Deep Mountains, which is where my family's from. So I'd rather stay away from that.
Is it a little too close to home?
Maybe. Blame my father. He's from West Virginia.
So, are you impressed with the actors as they convincingly portray the Wyatt family?
The lead guy's really convincing.
Yeah, I really like him.
The other two just are stoned, it's what it looks like.
Okay.
I mean, whatever.
Alright. We really like Bray Wyatt, the leader.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
Chris more than me. But I do really like him.
He's meant to be creepy, so he's being successful at what he's set out to creepily do.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go on a rant about Fandango now.
Okay.
I have a problem with Fandango, people. I have a problem with Fandango because Fandango, number one, can't dance. And his little blonde, whatchamacallit, little partner.
Summer Rae.
Summer Rae also could not dance to save her life. She could not keep beat. And it was terrible. It was awful. I don't know what she was doing. Like, for real? No.
But it's okay now, right?
Well, it's okay now, except now that they have this, like, thing going on with, like, the ramen-haired guy that you've got the crush on.
Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, him. So he apparently kissed Summer, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then Fandango dances in front of him and gyrates and distracts him so he gets hit, which I didn't know about the Summer Rae thing when that happened, so I thought that they were calling Dolph Ziggler's sexuality into question.
Did you not see the recap?
That wasn't in the recap. That was afterwards when they had that little looking off into the distance while I'm holding my current girl staring at my old girl. Like, for real? But the new girl who got milk dumped on her can actually dance.
Layla.
I want her to stay around because she can dance, which makes her better in my book because I don't want to watch a quote-unquote dancer not be able to keep time.
I can't believe they did. I can't believe they have all that recap time built into this show and they did not recap that love triangle.
No. I really thought they were questioning Dolph Ziggler, ramen hair guy. I thought they were questioning his sexuality. In fact, that's what I wrote down. I said, did Fandango do sexy dancing to distract ramen hair so he would lose? Is that a jab at ramen sexuality?
That's so funny. Oh man, I can't believe they did that. I was like, I just assumed that there was a recap there.
I might have missed it. I mean, I was watching this while, you know.
No, that's fair. But like, they have so much recap time. They spend so much time recapping stuff. And like, if they didn't do that, that's just, alright. So yeah, no, I really like Dolph Ziggler. Do you like, recognize why? How much have you seen?
I've seen him twice.
Okay.
The only reason I recognize him is because of his hair.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing else.
But you saw him at Money in the Bank, right?
I guess.
Was he really good at Money in the Bank?
He has shiny shorts.
He was really good, you guys.
Okay.
Alright. What else? What else? What other questions?
The Gimp Suit Brothers.
Gold Star?
And Stardust, right?
Yeah, so it's Gold Dust and Stardust. And they're Team Gold Star.
Oh.
They don't actually have a real team name, so we're just calling them Team Gold Star.
I like my name better.
Gimp Suit Brothers.
Yeah. They're creepy. And what's his face with the star? He is very committed.
Yes. Yes, he is. Let's touch on that very briefly. That's Cody Rhodes. So they're brothers in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And their father, Dusty Rhodes, is a old wrestling legend. Like a Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair level wrestling legend.
Okay.
And so Goldust has always done this weird thing. He's the, you know, king of weirdness, the epitome of odd stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's gone through various incarnations, but always been, like, you know, face painting and shiny suits. Sometimes he'll have, like, that's what the wig came from. He used to wear a wig like that to the ring all the time. Or, like, boas, or, like, you know.
Because that wig was just, again, didn't have a clue.
Yeah. They're, he's always been weird for the sake of being weird. Cody Rhodes has always done more straight man kind of stuff.
Yeah, but then you guys said he wasn't terribly successful at that.
It's been the kind of thing where, like, there's no reason he shouldn't be, like, a main event top guy star.
Mm-hmm.
Because his, you know, he's, so it's debatable. He's like, I feel that he clearly has in-ring skill. Chris agrees with me. Some other people don't, but, like,
watching them, they seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah. He had a character called Dashing Cody Rhodes for a very long time, who would give beauty tips, like, in little vignettes.
That's precious.
In between. And then he got his face kicked in. like somebody, like, you know, it was like a botch. He broke his nose. He fractured his nose. So he had to wear like a protective mask. And so they put that into the storyline where he was, you know, he felt that he was horribly disfigured and would not let anybody see his face kind of thing. And so he fought with that mask for a long time. So he's gotten these, you know, characters and these gimmicks, and nothing has ever super clicked for him. And it feels like he's gotten a lot of them. Mm-hmm. They keep trying out new things on him, and there's other people in the locker room who get nothing ever.
Yeah.
While Cody Rhodes gets thing after thing after thing after thing. So it's kind of like, well, you know, I want him to succeed because I want people to succeed, and good for people for trying, but this is really his last chance. Like, he's had his chances. So I am endeared by Stardust.
He's creepy and committed, and I guess that's really all you can
I mean,
ask.
That's the thing. It's like, he is committed. When he did the dashing Cody Rhodes stuff, he was fully committed to that. When he did the, like, disfigure thing, fully committed. He had, like, a clear see-through plastic mask. Like, he looked fine. No, he's completely committed. Did a thing where, like, I don't remember where this was in there, but, like, he would start, like, handing out paper bags to the audience members who he didn't want to see anymore to put on their heads.
That's funny.
So, yeah. So he tries really hard at whatever gimmick they give him, so he's putting his all behind Stardust. So I guess I want good things for him.
Alright.
Is that it?
No, this is the most important question.
Okay.
That was all I had for the brothers.
Okay. Alright.
Okay, so this is my most important question.
Okay.
And it's a real, I wrote it all out. So several wrestlers wear pants, or even shirts, or even, as we've said, gimp suits. So why can't Sheamus wear more clothing?
Because it's his signature paleness.
Scary pale Irish skin is for private time only.
I would like to point out that my opinions on Sheamus have in no way affected Heather's opinions on Sheamus.
Sheamus scares me. Sheamus is luminescent. I think he would glow in the dark.
Here's the thing. Okay, so first of all, I feel fairly confident that it's, I don't know if it's, like, officially part of his contract, but I'm sure he, like, actively has to avoid the sun. That's not, like, a...
He probably wears, like, SPF, like, 3000.
That's not just, like, a pigment that happens. Like, I feel like you have to try at that point to get there. It makes him stand out.
Yeah, it does.
And honestly, what it really does is, like, hits show up real bad on his skin real fast.
Yeah.
Like, when, you know, people hit him in the chest or in the arms or anything, it turns red really quickly. It does not even have to be that hard. And so he will come out of a match. He'll come out like a fine, middle-of-the-road match looking beat up. So, that's why I think they do it. And, like, that's one of the few things that I like about Sheamus. Of, like, he looks like he's been put through the mill after every match. And that's his skin. That's his skin doing... Not his commitment to wrestling.
Fine.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Did you want us to giant agree on
no,
Sheamus?
No, I know you wouldn't.
Power through on
but I felt the
a
need,
tirade of Sheamus hatred?
No, but I felt the need to say it.
Okay.
I've thought it a lot.
All right.
I've watched lots of people come in with lots more clothing, and he comes in his little, you know, teeny tiny little underwear.
Yeah, like he does just wear the little manty thing. Banana hammock thing.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit bigger than a banana hammock.
It is a little bit bigger than a banana hammock.
Thank God. Ugh. Okay. So, last thing.
Okay.
Did Bo Dallas do a Tim Tebow in the middle of his thing?
Okay, so here's the Bo Dallas story.
Bo Dallas is creepy.
I adore
Bo
Dallas.
Dallas is creepy in a, hey, come join my cult. Don't you want to drink the Kool-Aid? That's the kind of creepy he
no,
is.
No, they already have a cult.
Yeah, I...
The Wyatt family. Is
it? Oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not a cult. That's a clan. Okay, so...
Okay. Excuse me.
But no, he's like with his like little creepy, you know, I'm a motivational speaker thing. I really feel like he wants me to drink the poisoned Kool-Aid.
Okay, so here's the thing. When they first started with Bo Dallas, so you know how John Cena is this basic like Superman all around good guy? Like,
Superman.
I mean, he's... Always overcomes the odds, never gives up, hustle, loyalty, respect. Like, that's his mantra, just all around, super good guy, all good things.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
fail. So that's what they tried to do with Bo Dallas.
It just didn't work.
It is like, you're, you know, happy-go-lucky, tries his best, works really hard, is just a good, swell kind of guy going forward. And so, you know, the Tina sucks chance. Like people don't really, some people, a very vocal group, probably not a minority, like a huge amount, really don't like this character. And, you know, Chant, but they're not going to change Cena at this point.
No.
For one thing, Cena sells a bajillion merchandise.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, there's a lot of a don't fix what ain't broken mentality there.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas is not at the level of John Cena. So they said, fine, you're booing this character. He's a bad guy now. And so he's very much still the same thing of, like, you know, trying to be very motivational and very hard, and he tries his best, and, you know,
but I like El Torito, is what he's called?
Yeah, El Torito your favorite?
He might be one of my favorites. Well, he jumped, one of the first things I ever saw of wrestling, he was standing on the edge, and he jumped and twisted in air, wrapped his legs around somebody's neck, and slammed him on the ground.
Yeah.
It's pretty dumb impressive.
I like El Torito a lot. I am bummed out that he lost this week.
I know, I wanted him to win.
So,
but I mean, Bo Dallas is undefeated, right?
Yeah, Bo Dallas is undefeated, so they have to.
Yeah, that doesn't really mean.
That means that they have to write his. They're clearly building this up to a defeat.
Yeah.
So.
But a meaningful defeat, I guess.
Yeah, that means they have a story. I take that back. That doesn't mean they have a storyline planned for this, because they never have storylines planned for anything.
Let's just say it.
Creation of wrestling is a very fly by the seat of your pants operation.
Like Game of Thrones?
No, Game of Thrones is well written out.
If you say so. I really think he just makes it up on the fly. But anyway, that's something different.
Okay.
Okay, and then I stopped paying attention once Cena and Cruella DeVille started fighting.
So okay.
That's, you can talk about that.
That's
one.
Fine. I mean,
I was 3 hours into wrestling.
Yes.
I felt committed.
Yeah, my opinion on that, and I'm sure if Chris was here, he'd pretty much echo the same thing, is we're already at the go-home show. That's, like, the show before a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know what the main event is. They all just kind of came out and did that. And so, yay for them. So,
Cruella DeVille's not very patient. He just got his suitcase. So
what they do with that is they tease it for about a month every week. Like, oh, he's going to do it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think he'll cash it in on Cena. I don't think they want that.
Yeah, who do you think they'll cash it in on?
It depends on where the title goes. I'm not even sure they have a plan. So, there used to be two briefcases, because there used to be two belts before they unified it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one would be cashed in on one belt, one would be cashed in on the other belt. And they usually have, like, one of them had a storyline in mind, and the other one just went to a wrestler who they thought had a pretty good chance of being a champion later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that they only had one thing, I would like to think that means that they have a storyline in the future planned for this. We will see.
Okay.
No promises.
Is Cena going to keep wearing those belts like a scarf?
Yep. Yep. I can say with lots of confidence, I fully believe that he will continue to wear the belts like that.
Right. Oh, hey, so I'm a girl, so I feel like I should talk about the girls, because that's what, you know, stick together?
Sure.
Okay, so the arm tying thing was dumb.
Yes.
I'm not 100% certain what was going on. What McMahon woman is mad at...
Stephanie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is mad at Cena's girlfriend because she... because her sister quit. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes,
and her sister quit because she's married to
Beard. Daniel Bryan.
The Beard.
Good job.
Hey.
That was all correct information. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks. Oh, I don't know if I'm very proud of myself.
So, the twins are dating / married to Cena and Daniel Bryan in real life. They don't really... Did they acknowledge that on the show?
No, they didn't acknowledge it on the show. They just talked about the fact that, you know, the sister left in a hut, like a I quit thing. Mm-hmm.
She quit a while back. I'm assuming to take care of her new husband, who has to go through multiple surgeries.
I figured that's what it was, too. And I mean, yeah, but she couldn't just, you know, they had to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, there's no reason not to make a big deal about it.
So that was dumb. Yes. Then I learned that AJ came back, mm-hmm. beat the British person.
Yes, Paige.
Yeah, I didn't know she was British till this week. I should pay closer attention. And then they had a fight with the Funk Adactyls.
Yes.
Which is never what I think they're saying. And then one of them put on her lip gloss while they were doing a fight.
The Funk Adactyls are about to break up.
I can tell. Because then they fought after that.
Yeah.
Oh, and somebody poured beer on John Cena's girlfriend. Why was there beer underneath the stage?
Stone Cold left it there. There's always beer for Stone Cold. Have you seen Stone Cold?
No. Yet?
At all, ever? Have you ever seen him?
I started watching wrestling exactly a year ago.
Okay, alright. I mean, he's come back like a couple of times. I just don't know if you were watching the event. Because I know you couldn't watch WrestleMania.
No.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's your dad's fault.
So, Stone Cold will go out to the ring and hold up his hands and beers will come flying.
That sounds dangerous. Is that like when somebody called for chairs and they got piled with chairs?
Yeah. WWE actually has a guy set it, like, in the timekeeper station to throw beers
at him.
And he'll get about 4 beers and open them all and drink them.
Ew.
And so, I mean, he honestly, like he opens them very sloppily and then, you know, does cheers to himself and beer comes sloshing out there and he, you know, does all 4 at one time. So he might get, like, 2 mouthfuls of beer in all this.
It sounds like a very unfun job to be the person who has to clean the stage between each match.
Yeah. Because there can be blood there, too.
Yeah.
Or milk.
Ew. That's nasty.
Yeah, there was a guy called Kurt Angle who was a genuine Olympic medalist wrestler, and then went on to do WWE and stuff. And so he was, because he was, you know, in the Olympics, he did this very, like, all-American character. And so he did a lot of parodies of Stone Cold stuff, where Stone Cold would do beer, he would always drink milk. And,
ew.
Yeah.
Give him, like, soda or something.
It's not as patriotic. It's not as American.
Coca-Cola?
Fair enough. So, okay, so I'm going to go ahead and let you... One of the reasons that we decided to do the podcast at this in this time area is because it's Money in the Bank. And because the first thing Heather ever saw was last year's Money in the Bank.
Mm.
At which point... Heather decided something that still hurts me to this day.
I hate ladder matches.
She hates ladder matches.
They're stupid. They're stupid. They are athletes. Can they not climb a ladder at a normal rate? Now, at some point, climb a ladder. Like, it's ridiculous. Or somebody get off the ground faster to pull the guy off the ladder. Like, can they not practice this? I mean, come on, guys. Climb a ladder.
Or like ladder matches.
It's great.
But, however, you seem to enjoy this year's Money in the Bank more.
Well, I understood what was happening more. Yeah. And I knew who the characters were.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't like, who's that guy with the hair and the bright sparkly butt doing something? Like, I actually had...
Some context. But there were a couple of, like, actual audible gasps from you.
They threw Cruella DeVille on his back on, on a ladder that was laying sideways.
Yeah. That was impressive, wasn't it?
It looked painful.
Yeah. It was an impressive bump.
Okay. I don't know what they're called. It's okay. You don't have to explain it to me.
A bump is a hit.
Just call it a hit.
It's called a bump.
Because it's not a real hit?
Because if you take a bump... I don't know. I don't know why bump is called bump. A lot of it's like... Face comes from the term baby face, you know? Which is like, means good guy. It's not even a wrestling term. Baby face means good guy or swell fella. So that's where the word face comes from that.
Okay.
So that's just actual, I can trace the etymology of that word. I don't know about bump. I guess they get bumped off of the ring.
I mean, it's not an actual physical, like, I'm going to, you know, yeah. I don't know, maybe, I don't know, whatever.
So, do you enjoy wrestling?
I don't know how to answer that. I feel like I'm going to perjure myself.
Is that a no?
No. But it's also not a yes? I enjoy spending time with you.
Thank you.
I enjoy watching you get overly excited about things.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy watching your friends yell at a TV.
Okay.
About something that is so silly at times.
Okay. Fair enough, I can live with that.
Is there anything in wrestling that you're more excited to see than other things?
Are the promos more interesting, like the storyline part, or like, have you seen a match where you're like, that is a better match than that match?
Well, yeah, I can tell the difference between someone who's good and someone who's not now. But I am definitely more interested in the storyline,
mm-hmm.
because, and I don't know, that just sounds weird, but yeah, I'm enjoying watching wrestling for the storylines. That does not seem like a normal thing.
That's why I like it.
Okay.
So are there wrestling storylines? What storyline do you feel you've been the most invested in?
Oh.
Even if that investment is very little.
Even if that investment's very little. I hope you cut out the long pauses here. Well, I think it's going to be a lot longer podcast than you want it to be.
I mean, so I'll talk while you think. You know, you weren't around for when CM Punk was about to leave, but that's like the
I was too.
A different time.
Oh, okay.
That was the storyline I was invested in. Like, I was genuinely invested in how that storyline turned out. That was something that I very much needed to know and watch. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, even storylines I enjoy and storylines, you know, I'm invested in Dean Ambrose right now and Roman Reigns. I want Roman Reigns to get the title, but it's nothing like it was. I'm trying to think what storyline I'm most invested in the past year to kind of help you out.
I mean, the whole Shield thing, like, dissolving.
Yeah.
Was interesting. Daniel Bryan's fluctuations have been interesting over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I first started watching wrestling is when Cena first came back. And so that was apparently a big deal. And I was like, oh, it's a dude with an elbow bandage.
Yeah, because he took a 6-month recovery time and did it all in 2 months.
That's not good.
No, probably not. So he's known to do that. Like there have been several times where Cena's been injured with a 6 month to a year sidelining injury and come back in 2 to 4 months.
No, but fine, whatever, he's still alive. He'll regret it later in life.
Yes, he probably will. So, who is your favorite wrestler?
Andre the Giant.
And why is Andre the Giant your favorite wrestler?
Because he was in Princess Bride, which is my favorite movie.
I like Andre the Giant, too. You did watch WrestleMania 3 with us, didn't you?
I've watched some of them. I don't remember which one I watched. Did you watch the one
Andre the Giant fighting Hulk Hogan?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember anything about it?
I remember Hulk Hogan threw him on the ground.
He did.
I also remember he did his, like, little leaning back and, like, looking like he's having a seizure thing to get power from the audience. Oh,
when he was hulking out?
Yeah, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
He looked like he was having a seizure. I was kind of actually worried about him.
Well, you know, he's still around.
Mostly.
You don't care for Hulk Hogan?
No.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan's just meh.
Okay. Who's your favorite wrestler wrestling today?
They had an answer. Wasn't that good enough?
It was very good. I'm very proud of you. But who, like, if their music hit, who would you be most excited to see?
I don't know anybody's music except the ones you sing all the time.
Which is just John Cena?
Yeah.
Who, okay, well then who wants, you know, they come out and you recognize them? And I would assume this would be because, just knowing you, I would assume
that you would enjoy this wrestler because it's a storyline you're interested in. Like, I watch Dolph Ziggler do anything. Yeah. Dolph Ziggler comes out, yay! And so, I don't know if you have anybody like that.
I like El Torito.
Yeah? Okay, I'll take El Torito. Who's your least favorite wrestler?
This is not at all based off of their skill. This is based off my personal impression of their ability to pull off their character.
Okay.
Fandango or Randy Orton?
Really? Okay. Okay.
Fandango can't dance. And it infuriates me.
So, Fandango used to be called Johnny Curtis when he was lower down. And he was amazing as Johnny Curtis. Because he was creepy and, like, skeezy. And he played that beautifully.
Well, like, when he talks, like, his little thing, he's like, I'm like the Fonz. I was like, Fonz? No, you're not like the Fonz. The Fonz actually is an appealing human being. You are not, sir. Sorry.
It's okay. So those are the ones you're the most bummed to see that they keep getting on TV.
Ugh, yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm not as bummed now that Summer Rae is gone, but I used to get like, ah, and you guys used to make fun of me.
I remember.
Because I would yell at the TV that she couldn't dance.
I remember. Because an important plot would be happening.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I mean,
air quotes around important.
Thank you.
But plot would be happening, and you'd be still going. I was like, that was like 2 segments ago.
Still mad about it.
I can tell. But I take it if we were to break up, would you ever watch wrestling again?
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I understand.
I love you, but no.
But would it come up in weird conversations?
Probably. Non-sequiturally,
that you would know things?
I know things about wrestling and, like, storylines and, yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, so I do want to ask, do you remember when you first found out that I watched wrestling?
Yes.
What do you remember about that?
I remember...
Because I would like to hear that story from your point of view.
It was late at night.
It was.
We were at... Elements Cross? No,
we were at the Mexican restaurant.
Are you sure we were?
Mm-hmm. We were in the parking lot of the Mexican restaurant.
Oh, we were, weren't we? Yes. And what was my reaction to it?
Yeah, so what was your thought process? Because, so, you had asked if we could go to a concert on Monday.
And you couldn't because of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. So this was very early in the relationship, because you did not know that I had Mondays all booked forever.
That was technically our first date.
Yes, you were asking me about where we would go on what would technically be our first date.
Well, when you told me it was because of wrestling, my first thought was, he is an intelligent person, right? Which is terrible, and I apologize to all of you guys, but I mean, you know, I grew up in the mountains and didn't have a great impression of wrestling fans.
Okay, fair enough.
So... And then I was like, no, it's okay. He's really smart, and he's cute, and he likes other things. So, okay.
Okay.
I tried not to think about it for one. I sure as heck didn't tell anybody for a long time. No,
you
didn't.
I remember you telling your brother for the first time.
I made you tell him.
You did. You wouldn't tell him. I had to tell him. So, but no, I remember that. So, have you told other people, like friends... Like, Joel can't come because he has to watch wrestling.
I have told people that before, and they just go and give me really weird looks. There's a long, awkward pause with a... He's a smart person, right?
Do you try and defend me at all? Or you just let it roll? Don't want to actually get sucked down into it. That means the second one, doesn't it?
I mean, if they get hostile, well, how can you watch something stupid like that? Of course I'm going to defend you. But, I mean, if they're just like, okay, and they're okay with the awkwardness and moving on, I'm okay with the awkwardness and moving on.
Okay. Do you remember your first, like, actually watching wrestling?
Yes, I remember it.
Was Money in the Bank?
It was Money in the Bank.
That was the very first
time you watched wrestling? And I was infuriated at them trying to climb those stupid ladders.
So.
I didn't understand anything that was happening. Why were they trying to climb a ladder? What was the importance of the, you know, briefcase? I was like, is it full of money? No, it has a contract? What do you mean it has a contract? I didn't understand anything.
So Money in the Bank was not the best thing to start you out on.
No, I was so confused.
All right. Having watched wrestling, you know, in somewhat regularity for a year, can you think of any point that I should have brought you in on that would have been a good starting point?
I don't know if there's a good starting point, but there are definitely bad starting points.
Okay.
So...
What would have been the least bad starting point?
Just a random night. Just a random Raw.
Okay.
Because, I mean, there's so much downtime normally.
Yeah.
That there would have been plenty of time to be like, so Heather, this is what's happening. Or I could have been like, hey guys, what?
Okay. That's good information. Because, like, my second, you know, reaction would have been like, WrestleMania. Everything's happening at WrestleMania. I love WrestleMania. There's a ton of wrestling at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And that probably would not have worked out.
No.
Especially not this year, because it was just like a celebration of the past 30 years of wrestling. Yeah. Which would have been like a lot to try and cram into what we're talking about. And to, like, to try and explain to you like the importance of Undertaker losing at WrestleMania.
Oh, I knew. Because they'd been talking about it constantly for like 2 months. I know you knew now, but like
if WrestleMania was the first thing that I was to show you, and then like, and then when Undertaker lost, to like have that like a gasp, can't fathom this. And you would just have, like, no concept of, like, so? You lost a scripted match. Whatever.
Yeah, that's probably would have been my reaction. Mm-hmm. So, WrestleMania, no.
No, WrestleMania would not have been the right way to go. No. So, you see, now we know.
Start them on something light, not heavy.
Okay.
Like a baby.
Okay.
Give them milk, not meat.
Well, that's important. I'll, like, even, like, SmackDown or Main Event or something.
Yeah, or even like Royal Rumble or anything like that involves a lot of understanding of like the system that they have set up is not mm-hmm. really the best. It needs to be something simple.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I am, because it means you don't like ladder matches like you're supposed to now.
Thanks, Joel.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Ladder matches.
I know you do, and you can continue to love them without me. I will watch them with you, and I'm going to grumble.
Okay. So, if you were in charge of wrestling, what would your ideal, what storyline would you propose? If you got a chance to propose a storyline or a segment, what would it be? You
should have prepared me for these questions, Joel.
You sent you an email ahead of time.
This is the random stuff I'm going to ask you.
I mean, that's a lot of what we do on the podcast. We're like, you know what they should do? They should do this and this. Yeah. We're so smart. So now it's your turn. Go ahead.
Oh, I can't see the look I'm giving you.
Go ahead.
So if, what would I propose?
Yeah, like, what storyline do you think would be cool to see?
I don't know, have they ever done anything like Phantom of the Opera?
I mean, Cody Rhodes was a little bit like that with the don't look at my face kind of thing.
Yeah, but like, it was a see-through mask.
Yeah. I could see like a Phantom...
But he can't actually be Phantom of the Opera. I know, because like, that's I'm thinking copyrighted. Like, but I'm thinking of like somebody who hides under the stage and comes out periodically and ruins things. And then sings a song and goes away. Yes. There should be singing.
Yes.
Can there be singing in wrestling? I am so much more interested in it now.
Yes, they have done that. You don't get to know about that.
Is that the little leprechaun person you told me about one time?
Yes, he lived under the ring.
Oh, never mind. There, he took my idea.
I think he lived under the ring, and I think they had to hold court under the ring at one point. I don't remember why. Kane also sometimes lived under the ring.
Okay, well, there. Mm-hmm.
Kane's a little bit Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, he is.
He has a mask and he's disfigured. So when Kane first came out, he had like a full mask and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was a big deal that it revealed like mm-hmm. the first time. And then, you know, because he was supposed to, the mask was supposed to be hiding horrible scars. Mm-hmm. And then they did the reveal and then he just looked like the giant, he looked like the giant baby doll from Toy Story 3.
Aww, buddy.
And so that's what he looks like. Because like, you've seen him as Citizen Kane, right? When he's like dressed up in the suit and stuff. Like he just... He looks like a giant baby.
Aww.
So, okay.
Well, he's definitely more intimidating with the mask then.
Yes. So,
Right, is there anything else that you want to say to wrestling fans about wrestling? Any final thoughts for the podcast? Final words, final bits of advice?
When you would like to share this with significant others,
mm-hmm.
ease them into it.
Ease them into it, okay. See?
Otherwise, bad things will happen.
I don't know, you're still around.
Well, I mean, you eased me into it. You just eased me into it at a bad time.
I eased you into it after that.
Yes.
So, I did. But now, like, you know, when you hear the word Fandango, you don't think of movie tickets first.
No, I don't think of movie tickets first. Thanks, Joel.
See, it worked. All right. As always, I'm going to have to do this whole thing on my own because Chris isn't here. All right. Let me see if I can get through all this. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. We are also... I go to iTunes next. So in between there, Chris does. We also have an email address, classyringattire@gmail.com. Send us any kind of comments, any thoughts, concerns, suggestions for anything. If you have questions there, you can send them there. They'll end up... in the mail sack.
We didn't do the mail sack.
We don't have any mail sack submissions.
Are
this
you
week.
Sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's no
Well,
mail
you didn't sack. Post about them like Chris always does.
I know.
You just don't want to have to play the song,
I don't
do
have
you?
Play the song.
Sorry. Back to your announcements.
Yes. That one. We are also on iTunes. Look us up on iTunes, Classy Ring Attire. You can find us there. You can subscribe. You can, if you subscribe, you get new episodes automatically downloaded to you. You can also give us a rating of 5 stars, or you could write a review. Any of that kind of stuff really helps us out in the whole iTunes algorithm, discover new podcasts thingy. So all of that would be really great for us. We are also on wrestling.insidepulse.com. Any comments you leave there will also end up in the mail sack. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah?
Yeah.
All right. Bye.